today's episode, we talk sports popularity. We talk the portal. We talk Deion Sanders. We talk the race for the case. We even play the Ballad of Bobby Petrino.
Time now for the College Football Inquirer with Dan Wetzel.
If I'm KJ and I see they paid $1.35 mil, a car and a country club to Bobby Petrino, I'm like, $3 mil.
Russ Dellinger.
For lack of a better term, you need rats. You need people to turn people in. And guess what? School A is not going to turn in School B because they know that School B will then turn in School A.
And SI's Pat 40.
Watch your back, Sam. You're going in on the hottest seat in the country next year, and they just hired the interim coach who's going to take your place when you start 1-3.
Here's Pat, Russ, and Dan.
Welcome to the pod and race for the case. Championship game weekend. It's also the week that Spotify sends out to its users lots of info on what they were listening to this year. A lot of you guys shared that with us, and we have a lot of fun with it. But we are humbled that you would spend so much time with us. We know you have many choices on things to listen to, both college football and otherwise. And so we thank you.
But some of you listen and watch way too much.
No, they don't.
You should have better things to do.
No.
We're thankful for the lack of perspective from our listeners.
Yeah.
We're going to give a nod to Culpepper 19. He's the leader in the clubhouse. If you could beat him, send us your Spotify thing. It says he listened to 9,047 minutes of the show last year.
God.
He's in the top 0.5% of fans. I don't know how many minutes we did. I lived it, and I don't want to know.
Sean, how many minutes did we do? Good question. Dan,
maybe I don't know. 9,000.
Not much more than that.
Right.
Culpepper 19, thank you.
Yeah.
Take a break. No, don't take a break.
So there's, let's see, what is it? 9,000 and what? It's 9,047. So there's 1,440 minutes in a day. So he listened for 6.28 days this year. Thank you, Culpepper. It's more than my kids want to spend with me.
Oh, much more.
November should be a record month. We've had a number of record months, record shows, more on the YouTube, everything. We are very, very humbled. We thank you. And, we want to keep doing the show. And the way we do it is by growing. And our only way of growing is you guys telling your friends about us. And, we're not asking much out of you. It's free, so we're going to put you to work. But we do appreciate everything that everyone has done to help the show grow.
Yes, our boots in the ground testimonials from people have been fantastic.
That's what does it, obviously. So thank you, because we do have a good time trying to do it. And we don't have, necessarily a million other things. Let's see, 112 episodes this year. The average is 60. This is according to Sean. So he would have had to listen to episodes more than once.
Some of them were worth repeats. Okay. All right, rerun Culpepper. Rerun it. That's fine.
That's it, Culpepper. Anyway.
Look, we're still watching Seinfeld reruns, right? So why shouldn't people listen to
Absolutely.
College Football Inquirer?
I think there's worse things you could be doing. I mean, you can also, it's multitaskable. You do yard work. You driving in your car. Sitting around drinking, getting hammered by yourself, drinking a collective beer. I mean, it's a lot to be done. Anyway, sport is booming, and we continue to expect it to get bigger and bigger. And part of that was 19.7 million average was the average viewers for Michigan, Ohio State. I think it peaked at 22, an enormous number for college football. Just 2 years ago, that was only 15-something. No other game got over 10 this year. It was the highest broadcast since 2011, LSU-Alabama, highest rated. I think it was the fourth ever It goes back. There's the 2006 number 1-2 Michigan Ohio State game, day after Bo Schembechler passed away. And then there's the 1993 Florida State Notre Dame game, which was the first time game day went on the road.
Yeah.
And was of enormous. I remember that game was just like,
that was huge. That was so big. Like Sports Illustrated put that on the cover the week before the game.
It did. We're going to talk Sports Illustrated covers the show too. So it is now the most watched season ever. A part of that is there's more games on TV too. Army Navy is still to come. So there's one more regular season game to be played. This weekend is not necessarily the regular season, but I expect anybody who likes college football is not watching this weekend. I don't know what you're doing. I mean, we got Georgia, Alabama. There's so much going on. Friday night's game, I think, will do a very nice number. Oregon and Washington. Plus, there's these great, you know, Is it Liberty, New Mexico State's playing Friday night?
Yep.
Yeah. Actually, a really good
conference
game.
USA title.
Yeah. Conference USA title. Like, look, it's not going to get a huge rating, but like Miami, Ohio, Toledo is a really good MAC championship game by MAC championship game.
10-2 versus 11-1.
Yeah. I mean, so there's a lot of really good football games this weekend and everyone's excited. I don't know, Pat, you covered this game a long time like me. What do you think of the boom in the sport as a TV property? I think gambling's part of it. I think a lot of things are part of it.
Gambling is part of it. You know, I think this year, particularly the number of fresh stories, compelling stories. Obviously, September, you know, the viewership of Colorado was incredible. Getting the Florida State fan base back energized. Things like Texas. That. Just Texas, absolutely, you know. But I think the core audience is there because the product is great. And the point that we've made 4,000 times on this show, nobody cares what money the players are getting. I do think the realignment may have spurred more viewership just because people are like, oh gosh, I'd kind of want to see the last Pac-12 season. You know, I'd like to see the last time Texas and Oklahoma are in the Big 12. Some of that probably was a factor as well, but the product could not be healthier and is going to get bigger and more compelling as we go into the 12-team playoff era.
Yeah, I actually do think that the realignment is something that attracts viewers to games. It's funny. I think it's a Playfly Sports, which is a multimedia company. They did a survey earlier this year of fans, and it produced some really interesting results. And one of them was that, like, you know, X amount, it was like 70% or 80% of fans endorse realignment because they just love it and it brings attention to the sport. I think that's part of this year of what attracted, it was a storyline that attracted people to college football. Of course, a lot of people within the industry hate realignment, but I think it is noteworthy. And, you know, we had some other storylines this year that I think attracted viewers outside of the realignment in the Pac-12, and that's all this Michigan stuff. Right. All the sign stealing stuff. I mean, all those stories, while maybe not like great for the sport, are great as far as bringing attention to the sport. And I think that that's part of this all as well.
Yeah. Controversy and scandals. And I mean, that's controversy is America's favorite sport. That's truly America's favorite sport. One thing I learned covering the NFL is they just lean in on it.
Yeah,
it's the sports that are trying to build themselves up that usually fight it, and they get mad if someone writes anything like, you're not covering the sport in a positive promotional way. I've heard it for years. We were once covering an Olympics. We had an Olympic meeting. I can't remember what Olympics it was, but we used to get some athletes there from different sports to kind of, they would help our coverage. They would either do video or something. I can't remember. We're in a meeting and they were all saying, and it would be like, I don't even remember. I think it was winter, but it would be like, we had a speed skater. We had a, you know, curler or whatever. We need positive stories to promote our sport. That's why I'm here. I want to promote our sport. And then we had our numbers guy come in and he put up the top 50 stories from the previous Olympics. And like 48 of them were like judging controversies, doping, you know, some It's like
some human rights thing or something.
Yeah. None of it was like, you know, uplifting tale of, you know, someone who rescues dogs in their off season getting a bronze. And like, no, it doesn't work that way. And so when you're trying to build, you get a lot of it. You can't criticize us. Like, dude, like Bill Belichick gets ripped nonstop. Like Aaron Rodgers is in the middle of like conspiracy theories. And did he really injure his Achilles? And like, this is what people feed on.
Yeah.
And the NFL's like, go with it, man. That's good. Yeah. They never, ever get mad, no matter what you write. So controversies. Hey, there it is. So I would agree. I would agree with all that. I don't know.
I'm telling you, I think the SEC felt jealous this year. We've talked about it on the pod. Like this Michigan sign stealing is taking away attention on the league down there. That it just means more league. Just
they're making football. A comeback in Fayetteville, but we'll
they won't be down for long. I had a text from somebody who said we're the uninteresting league. The person was in the SEC and said we're the uninteresting league, and I said, don't worry. Give it time, you'll be back, and boom, like a day later, Petrino.
Yeah, you can't cap crazy for too long. It's gonna happen.
Gonna get out.
Sure enough. Yeah. You know what? Let's just segue to that. I'm gonna get to. We have other stories, but Bobby Petrino rehired as the offensive coordinator at Arkansas, and I mean, who the hell cares who the offensive coordinator is at Arkansas? They gave Sam Pittman another year. They hire Bobby Petrino. KJ Jefferson immediately rumors float that he's hitting the portal and going to South Carolina. It's like they better got a little work to do if they're going to keep KJ. If I'm KJ and I see they paid $1.35 million, a car and a country club to Bobby Petrino, $3 million.
Yeah.
But Petrino, as we have documented many times, Pat's favorite coach in college football calls him a disingenuous drifter. One of his great lines. 2012 was fired after wrecking his Harley with the former Arkansas volleyball player who is not his wife on the back, ran off the road one day. The issues were, the Petrino marriage, whatever. But he had hired her to work in the office, which of course violates all known state hiring laws, even in Arkansas. Even in Arkansas, you're not allowed to hire your girlfriend, particularly when you already have a wife. So he was fired for that, for lying to the bosses that he said he was alone on the bike. And then, of course, for bringing disrepute to the University of Arkansas. A bastion of ethical behavior. I know I myself just looked so far down on Arkansas after that. But he's back, baby, because Sam Pittman needs an offense. And who cares at this point? I wonder, can he get part of his $18 million contract that was voided going, if I was bringing scorn on your university then, why is it okay now? Maybe it was all trumped up. That's what I'm wondering. Anyway, Pat, I'm sure you have thoughts. Actually, you want to play the song? Sean, you got the song?
Yes, play the song first.
Play the song. This is our highway of girls on my
bike. Man, I never felt it's always loaded so up, Dan.
There you go. Screaming pig suey at the top of our lungs. Man, I never had this much fun. But then she reached around and put her hand on my thigh. I was in heaven and I closed my eyes. Next thing I knew, I wound up in a ditch. Oh, man, I should have never messed with this. Girl in the athletic department in the volleyball shorts. Girl in the athletic department in the volleyball shorts. My face is messed up. My Harley's in the shop. And I don't know if I'll keep my job. All be good. She reached around to my thigh. I was in heaven and I closed my eyes. Next thing I knew, I wound up in a ditch. Oh man, I should have never messed with this. Girl in the athletic department in the volleyball shorts. All right, cut it off here.
Many, many requests to have that.
Chris Vernon, our buddy Chris Vernon. Grind City Media in Memphis, his old radio show in Memphis. He used to do songs that we've played. It's the Coach O song. There's a couple others, right? What's the other one we always play? Yeah.
Those two. Those are the two big ones.
I think there was another Coach we played on a lot. That one. Anyway, Verno, great work. He was on Twitter this week saying, I can't believe this song is getting a reboot. Pat, go ahead.
Yeah, take it away.
I can't wait. I've been excited for 2 days.
Yeah, me too. The fact that Arkansas could be so desperate that they couldn't find, they can't find anybody else to call plays other than the guy that humiliated the school in spectacular fashion, to the point of being fired. And the fact that Bobby couldn't find somewhere else to work other than the place where he humiliated his family and himself in spectacular fashion. It's an amazing marriage of desperation here. It really is. It is a, I can't believe we're going back down this road, except for the fact that Bobby Petrino must be some powerful drug, because people do go back down the road. It never, ever in history anywhere that Bobby Petrino has worked has ended well. All right. So that's your baseline knowledge. We can go back to Louisville when he first became head coach. That didn't end well when he jilted them for the Falcons. How did it go at the Falcons? Well, he left them after 13 games and put notes in the locker saying he was out. That's when he went to Arkansas. How did that go? Oh, splendid. We know how that finished up. Bounced back, went to Western Kentucky, used them to rehab his image, got the job again at Louisville over the protests of many people, including Rick Pitino. That didn't end well. He gets fired in 2018. He bounces to Missouri State. Doesn't make them.
He was too scandalous for Rick Pitino?
Yes, believe it or not. That's,
yeah, I didn't know that. Wow. All right. It's incredible.
Oh, yeah.
But, you know, Pitino has a right to say, hey, come on, man.
Here's why. Rick's like, well, they're just going to bring up my.
Yeah, that's true.
That was the thing. Missouri State fails to build them into an FCS power, bounces out of there, goes to UNLV for like 3 weeks, leaves UNLV, goes to A&M. They all get fired at A&M. Bobby, when was the last time Bobby did good work? It was when, like, 2016-17. Guess who his quarterback was? It was Lamar Jackson. Oh. So did Bobby do good work, or did he have a Heisman Trophy winning future NFL star quarterback? Anyway.
I forgot about the UNLV stop, that we were going to have a lot of fun this year with the Bobby P in Vegas.
Yeah. He was there for 3 weeks. Yeah. 3 weeks.
Anyway.
Anyhow, you can't find somebody else to drop your ball plays. And the other thing, too, here is, of course, watch your back, Sam. You're going in on the hottest seat in the country next year, and they just hired the interim coach who's going to take your place when you start 1-3.
Mm-hmm.
Bobby Petrino has been known to put a shiv in people's backs. Ask Tommy Tuberville.
Jetgate.
Ask Tommy Tuberville. Yeah.
The infamous Jetgate at Auburn in 2000, what?
Three.
That's the part of this that fascinates me, Pat, is if you watched parts, I didn't watch it, but I saw videos and stuff of Arkansas's game against Duke in basketball. Mm. Last night, I mean, he's like a god there returning. It's like the return of the long lost son. There was chance of Bobby five students, I guess, had painted each a letter of his name on their shirtless torso in the crowd. Again, a chance of Bobby and the photos and all of the. I mean. Clearly, they love this guy there, and they do not care what happened a decade ago. And it's just, I mean, it's like you're inviting the fox in the hen house sort of thing. It feels like if you're Sam Pittman, but you're kind of in, I guess, you know, you're given this leash in a way of an extra year, and so you had to do something. But this does feel like a situation where, you know, the offensive coordinator is going to soon be the interim coach, and the interim coach is going to maybe soon be the full-time coach again.
It's definitely a soap opera season. Season of Yellowstone we can see coming. Yes. Almost too much. Maybe there's a thing. Yeah. Yeah, the fans are fired up. They were good with Petrino was there. And I remember they wanted to keep him, but it was that state. It was the hiring. That's what got him. The hiring.
Yeah.
Right. Nobody cared if there was a divorce.
And then he lied, too.
Yeah,
he lied. Then he lied to administrators. Yeah.
I think they would have forgiven give me a break. Lied to the administration.
Yeah, he went 11-2 the year before, I believe.
Oh, and they almost beat Alabama one year, I think. And I mean they were good. They were good. And they haven't been that
almost
good since.
Almost beat Alabama's like part of Arkansas's heritage.
They never beat Alabama, but they had Mallett and they had some players. And they were good.
Yeah. One other point here, my favorite part of the Bobby comeback, and I do believe there was a little bit of administrative blowback from somebody, maybe faculty, I don't know, but this like got done, and then it took another like 18 hours to really actually get done to the point where they announced it.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, Bobby announced it himself on Twitter at like 8:00 on Wednesday morning that he was coming back. With a picture of himself and Ryan Mallett on there and said, it's you and me, 15. A lot of people were like touched by this. Mm-hmm. And that's
Ryan Mallett passed away last year.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Practically.
Pardon me for being cynical, but that was Bobby using that as a deflector shield against criticism.
Probably.
Very nice of him.
Question is, can you win? I mean, the fans love, like we said, we love the scandal. Have you seen, this is totally aside, but have you seen the Dave Portnoy goes to the from Barstool, Michigan fan, Michigan alum, goes to the Michigan Ohio State game? He has Connor Stallions come up on the pregame show that they did and drop off a note saying Ryan Day is going to be in more NCAA trouble than Harbaugh, right? Like it's a big gimmick. And then Portnoy does these pizza reviews, right? One bite challenge. Everyone knows the rules. And he's been doing these pizza reviews all over Detroit while he was in town for the weekend. And Connor Stallions makes a cameo in each one of them.
The real, like,
really him?
Stallions?
The real,
the real Connor Stallions. So you know
that
you ever
was
seen
him on the stage that came up.
That was him
really
on the
him?
Stage. Yes, that was him on the stage. And amazing. In the videos, you know how he stands. You've all seen the one bite challenge. He stands out front. He has the pizza, takes a bite. He takes more than one bite, and then he gives it a rating. Right, immensely popular thing. So he's done like four or five. They keep releasing him. He's all over like Southeast Michigan at these pizza places, and Connor Stallions either like just conveniently comes through the door and walks out like a normal customer, or he's sitting in a car behind him or stuff like that. Like it's just like play it up. And it's like, I know people are mad. Some people are mad at Connor Stallions, or I'm sure some people it would be you know, can you imagine? I mean, they may suspend Harbaugh for another day for the one bite challenge. Tony Petitti's probably having an aneurysm. I don't know, but it's like, people just don't care. They love the scandal.
Yeah. They've embraced, like, people have in general embraced scandal over the last, like, I don't know, 6 to 8 to 10 years.
Yeah.
The country has like warmed up to scandalous figures. I will not get political.
Yeah, let's stay.
But I think that there probably is a politician over the last few years that
we don't know what you're talking about.
You know, has also embraced scandal, and thus the masses do. Now it's wild. It's wild, and it's seeped into sports. You know, we've talked about this in the pod. I think last year with like the basketball stuff, and like, you know, LSU keeping Will Wade and Bill Self in Kansas. I mean, school Michigan. At least Michigan's first initial, before dropping the lawsuit and firing the assistant coach, their first like initial kind of response to the Big Ten and the NCAA was like a giant middle finger. Like, and that's what it spread. It has spread throughout from the country, from the Capitol Hill, from the political stage to college sports.
Yeah. The response was one word: bet.
Bet. Yeah. Right. Yeah. No, I don't think anybody cares. And nobody cares about your rules or your moralizing, because who the hell's doing any moralizing around here? Everybody's they finally have embraced my everyone's got a gray hat. Like, there's some good people. I'm not saying there aren't, but it's sort of like you're Arkansas. Like, dude, we've had nice guys. We lose. You guys have these guys. What are we doing? You know, Guy wrecked his Harley. All right, probably shouldn't have hired the girl, but whatever. You know, with crime. It's an amazing shift because back in the day, 20 years ago, I'd be like, oh my God.
Right.
And now it's like, whatever, man.
Gasp. Now they're chanting his name.
Yeah.
Yeah. Seriously, though, like, the biggest sin will be, what if they don't win?
That's it. You're fired.
But if the offense is good,
Sam Pittman, all accounts, is a tremendous guy. We all love Sam Pittman, but he ain't winning. So they're like, we just don't care. I think college sports has taken on the pro mentality of like, I don't care.
Yeah,
I'm a Boston Bruins fan. I don't care if Coach Montgomery is a good guy or a bad guy. Could he just freaking get the guys to back check for a change? Suck right now. Wouldn't hurt anybody.
Arkansas hired the coach of the number 8 offense in the SEC.
Yeah, I don't know. Might not be good, but there is no more like we care. It's funny, especially that type of stuff. I mean, Connor Stallions caused a lot of damage to. If I was Jim Harbaugh, I'd be very upset with Connor Stallions. If in fact I had no idea what was going on, I'd be very. But he hasn't expressed that. But I would understand. Like if I didn't know you tried to tear down our kingdom by. But a lot of fans are just like, whatever, we won anyway. Like what? Ohio State's got the moral superior. You had Urban Meyer as your coach. What are we doing, right? I think everybody's been in scandal now, and nobody cares. And so it's just like, this is fun. Let's embrace the heel. It's like wrestling. So we
it's
got Bobby
exactly
Petrino.
Like wrestling to me. It's like,
wrestling's popular.
The wrestling mentality of just like, we're fine with just sprinkle a little scandal in for added entertainment.
That's how things get. Like, believe me, there aren't a lot of Patriot fans who care that Bill Belichick's been accused of everything under the sun. It's just sort of like, but did you see how many Super Bowls we won? You know? So anyway, it's a different era, but it's a different era. And I'll go to this. We're going to get to your story. But like, we're going to get to the portal. We're going to get a lot to the portal. But like, there was a big high school recruit flip on Wednesday. Justin Scott, 5-star defensive lineman, top 10 recruit in the country out of Chicago. Everybody tried to get this guy. He had been committed to Ohio State since July. Looked like their next in their long line of just, defensive line game wreckers. He flips to Miami, Florida, not Ohio, the Confusion Bowl. Flips to Miami, and Hayes Fawcett at On3 puts out these, like, it's really artwork. Hayes is really it's the Picasso of our time, of recruiting images, right? So this thing is fantastic. Okay, this is where we're at in college football, and I'm here for it. It's got Justin Scott. It says Miami, like in like the U colors, the old Miami Vice colors, maybe even font. It's got a picture of him. He's on a beach. It's all photoshopped. He's on like a cartoon beach, and there's two palm trees. Let's see. There's the CFP trophy. Which they have not won. There's an ACC trophy. I don't know if they won the ACC, maybe, but whatever. There's a Biletnikoff trophy.
No, they have not won the ACC.
I'm not sure what that is behind him, but it looks like the stadium and something else. He's on the beach, kneeling, and then there is money. It looks like it's raining money, and then there is a literal pile of cash in the... Oh, he's also got two hurricane warning flags. This is really artwork. It's the greatest piece of art since dogs playing poker. I believe. I think. No, when they won last year, some kid from A&M committed, and he had a chainsaw for some reason in his Hayes Fawcett artwork. I need an athletic. Could the athletic please do an oral history of Hayes Fawcett?
Oh, don't give him any ideas.
Yeah, right.
I need a good offseason.
It'll be a triple byline oral
triple
history.
Oral history of Hayes Fawcett artwork. Anyway, there's a pile of cash on the beach. Like, do we care? There's a pile of cash. And then the black guy, oh my God, he's just taking the money. First off, you guys are going to pay him too. They just either paid him more or he wanted to spend it in Miami, not in Columbus. Whatever. Like, it's over. It's over. This is this is fantastic. It's literal pile of money in his announcement.
Yeah. And it comes on the day that I believe it was Matt Rhule, Nebraska coach, just kind of came out publicly in a press conference and said, hey, transfer quarterbacks are costing us $1.5 million to $2 million. Transfer portal quarterbacks, that's what they're costing. Which, again, in the NIL world, really good experienced transfer quarterbacks and five-star quarterbacks at a high school, maybe even some four-stars, are costing seven figures. I think it's kind of been known and pretty written about. But we're starting to see coaches, and others just kind of come out publicly and start to say these things. So I don't know about you, Dan, but I mean, beaches that I walk around to and go to, I see piles of money stacked up all the time, all over the beach, right? Just raining money.
You never know
what
floats up
on
all
the beaches.
Yeah. In Miami, maybe.
Especially the Miami beaches. Oh, yeah.
Bag of Coke.
I was going to say, yeah, the money is wrapped around blocks of cocaine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
In plastic bags.
Well, I mean, and it does. $1 to $2 million for the transfers. I don't know what Justin Scott got. I hope he got all. But I'm staring at a Bobby Petrino contract of 1.3. Like, this is what it costs. What NFL, other than the rookie deals, maybe Brock Purdy's still getting paid less than his offensive coordinator, but Patrick Mahomes isn't. This whole thing's got to shift, you know? So it's like, I don't know. It's a great thing, and this is, there's no more. And so when you look at that, how can you be upset about anything? Like, it's just, this is the way it is. The old sensibilities are dead, or they should be, or else you're shouting at clouds. Cause I think Justin it's fantastic just being like, yeah, look at this. I'm going to make some money. I'm moving to Miami and get a bunch of money. I'm 18 years old. Are you kidding me?
What could go wrong?
Who's saying no? Who's saying no? I'm living in Chicago right now. It's 12 degrees. These guys down there are going to give me lots of money. I'm gone. All right. We're going to get to the portal, but I want to briefly get to Ross's story on conference championship weekend. Look, this is going to be a great conference championship weekend. Last year was pretty much a waste of time. As the playoff expands, how necessary is this? You think there is at least some real voices, or I know you're reporting in the story, there's some actual real voices saying, do we need this thing? What's up with the future conference?
Yeah, like, championship weekend. Obviously, expanded playoff starts next year, 12 teams. It'll end up being five automatic qualifiers for conference champions and seven at large. And I think, and this has been brewing, I think, for a while. At some point, there was going to be commissioners or athletic directors come out publicly and start to talk about the future of conference championship games in a expanded playoff era. And I started to hear it this fall bubbling up and even over the summer. And so started to call around, and I would say that six of the 10 commissioners feel like it should be examined pretty seriously and explored, at least six of the 10. This is a subject that is very split, depending on who you talk to. This is kind of a divisive issue. There's a camp that thinks conference championship games should be, eliminated or seriously looked at elimination. And there's a camp that think no way, right? Untouchable, cannot touch championship games. It is the right way to name a champion as on the field. But in an expanded playoff, I think, and I was starting to crunch the numbers, you got to look at the math, as one of the commissioners mentioned to me, you got to look at the math. And I did over the last 5 years is the numbers that I crunched, excluding the 2020 COVID year, because it's kind of an anomaly. But let me take this year as we enter this championship weekend. There are five Power Five championship games, so 10 total participants. Seven of the 10 teams competing in championship games at the Power Five level this weekend would be secured of a 12-team playoff berth. Win or lose this weekend, right? Win or lose, those teams would be locked in. You got Georgia, Alabama, right? You've got Oregon, Washington,
Michigan,
Michigan, Florida State, even Texas, you know. So those would be locked in.
Right, Washington.
I think in Washington, yeah, Oregon and Washington, right?
Oh, you
I think
had if those. You, I'm sorry.
Yeah, I think if you go back 5 years, 28 of the 50, so more than half, would be in the same position where win or lose, they're locked into a playoff berth. So a lot of times, obviously, these games are for the first round byes, which are exclusively to conference champions. That's what's really at stake probably going forward in a lot of ways. And there are play-in games for some of these teams, right? This weekend, Louisville, Iowa, and Oklahoma State, right? Would be playing to get into the playoff, into the 12-team playoff. But anyway, it's an interesting topic. I think it will be. There's certainly no rash decision being made in the next year, maybe not even in the next couple years. But I think down the line, I think you'll see some serious examination into the future of championship games and if there are really needed. But look, there are positives and negatives to these things, right? There are a ton of drawbacks to eliminating a conference championship game, especially at the elite type of level in the Power Five, especially Big Ten SEC, right? First of all, the SEC's game and the Big Ten's championship game are valued at more than $40 million television-wise. So that would have to be compensated for. And there are ways to do that with the CFP and CFP revenues, but that is obviously an issue. But the other big issue, and Greg Sankey of the SEC brought this up to me, and so did plenty others, is the deeming a champion, determining a champion by regular season results, which is getting more difficult because leagues are expanding, right? So you're not going to play everybody a single time in a season. So do you want your champion determined based off of computer metrics like we saw actually this year, right? The participants in championship games in the Mountain West came through a tiebreaker of computer. So there are a lot of issues, but I'm guessing like if we sped up 10 years from now, not everybody will be playing a conference championship game.
Imagine some unintended consequences of adding, making your league have 18 schools in it or 16. Imagine.
Shocking, right? Yeah.
Yes. I've been saying for 20 years, don't have championship games. And I said the easiest way to expand the playoff was to get rid of championship games. That opens up a weekend that you need in there. And it's hilarious. Like, I was rejected. I broached this subject, discussed this subject with commissioners, athletic directors, rejected out of hand. No way. No.
Yep.
No. Now, all of a sudden, oh, wait. Yeah. We kind of have a problem here. So it's funny how these things go around and come around. And there is a problem. I mean, Ross, you spelled it out really well in the story, the pros and the cons. And one of the cons is you don't really have a champion. And part of the reason you have a conference is so somebody can hang a banner and say, we were the best team in X conference this year. So if you're going to decide that by computer metric, because you've got 18 teams and you're still playing eight league games or 16 teams and eight league games in the SEC, 18 and nine in the Big Ten and what will be the Big 12, then that's, you've created this situation where it's not very easy to navigate it through. But if they got rid of conference championship games tomorrow, I would say that's a positive move for getting the playoff done the way you should do the playoff.
Yeah, I agree. They don't need them. But I do think they're getting a jolt this weekend, and they're going to get a jolt next, because you're going to have play-in games.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the chance for, say, that ACC game is a play-in game. Someone's winning. That increases. Even watching the Tulane and SMU game, and saying, is one of these guys going to be the 12 seed? I'm interested. These are now the first round. It's a wacky first round, but I think the money's actually going to be bigger and the stakes higher. I would get rid of them, wave a magic wand. I agree. Again, a lot of people in college athletics, it's just groupthink. Like you say it and they look at you like you were nuts and you're like, you don't need this. And you lay it out. They go, what about that one time? It's like, that's the one time.
Yeah. But what, look, there are still going to be plenty of compelling matchups, you know, even though the math is the math, but the seeding matters. The seeding in the bye.
Yeah.
But the second thing is these play in the teams that can win their way in, that are out currently and can win their way in and replace other teams, steal a spot like we see in the NCAA basketball tournament.
Oh yeah.
Steal a bid sort of thing. So like this year, for instance, if
Iowa,
say two of the three teams, say the best chance is probably Oklahoma State beating Texas and Louisville beating Florida State. If those two teams win, they would steal a bid from 11 seed Ole Miss and 10 seed Penn State. They would be out and those two would be in.
Yeah. And if
and not only in, one of them would get a bye.
One of them could get a bye. The bye is huge. You don't want to play four games, you'll play three. I mean, you take like a Michigan, we don't know what Will Johnson's injury is. We don't know. Like, you want to heal up. You know, J.J. McCarthy probably not moving quite as well as he did. But also, when they eventually could, with the magic wand, make the second round on campus, then that bye is even bigger.
Hmm. Yeah.
And so you say, well, we're in no matter what. We're 13-0 Washington. What's the difference between a bye and a home game? Or you could drop all the way to 9 and be on the road. You could be playing at, you know, wherever. So it is a lot. The home game, the bye, that's how you stack it up. Interesting to see. Anyway, it's going to be an excellent thing. All right, I want to get to this. Sports Illustrated Sportsman of the Year. Sportsman of the Year. Deion Sanders, Colorado. I do understand the concept of Sportsman of the Year. It's like the Time Magazine. It used to be, like, this was the most important person in the world. And then it became like, you can't give it to that person because it's like became a popularity. Like, I think Hitler was like Time Magazine's person of the year.
I think he was once.
Yes. And he probably was the most influential person on earth that year. Not in a good way, but we can't wrap our minds around that concept anymore because we're not intelligent people. But Deion Sanders, certainly four wins, not... He's not the best college football coach, but he did have a massive impact on the season. So, Pat, you wrote the story. That does not mean you believe he should be Sportsman of the Year. Do not actually send all your hate mail to Pat. What do I care? If you hate this choice, hit Pat at Pat 40, by Pat 40. I don't know. Find him, whatever. Send him mail. It's not. It's your assignment. You went out. What did you get from talking to Deion? And I want to swing that into the portal. It's gonna be a long show. So what are you gonna do? We're gonna pick the games later.
Yeah, they're already finding me. Don't worry, Dan.
Okay, good. It's all your fault. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I mean, this was not my selection. You can find reasons certainly to disagree with it. You can find some reasons to agree with it. I will say this: that in terms of being a change agent, a disruptor of the status quo, a shock to the system. Nobody did that more than Deion Sanders. And we've talked, what were we talking about earlier in this show? Attention, ratings, untraditional approach to college football. Well, Colorado, at the time I wrote the story, had two of the five most watched games of the year. And five of the top 13, I believe, Colorado, the Colorado Buffaloes that were 1-11 last year and had been irrelevant for more than 20 years, had five of the 13 most watched games this season as of November 15th or whatever the time was. So he made you watch, made you pay attention, made you take a side, probably pro Deion, anti Deion. In terms of like, disruptor of the system. He has a sign in his office when I was there. If you look good, you play good. If you play good, they pay good. What other college football coach is going to have that sign in their office? Deion Sanders is, because he's made no bones about that's what it's about. We are here to raise exposure, to raise money for our people, to get paid. And So he did that. The big thing that stuck out to me, it was a really interesting conversation. We talked going back to when he was a kid, and like he was the organizer of the sports, like his bus stop. He would take his bus stop full of kids and go play like street football against the next bus stop. And like Sandlot baseball, and he would go to 7-Eleven and buy them all hats so they looked like a team. His little youth team would go play another neighborhood team. But part of the segue from that was, like he said, I spent my youth basically doing two things. I played sports and I watched TV. And he said, I didn't just watch TV. I watched TV. I studied it. He studied sitcoms in the 1970s. Sanford and Son, Jeffersons, All too. In the Family.
That did nothing for me.
Well, I honestly, God, I think he learned
comedy.
How though. To, yeah, mm-hmm. comedy, production, character.
There is a little Fred Sanford in him. There is a little Fred Sanford.
Oh, definitely.
For sure. This is actually very interesting.
Yeah. Yes, especially now that he's hobbling around on eight toes. He looks like Fred Sanford a little bit. Seriously. He does. So it's just really interesting. And he almost just basically laid out a sitcom plot. And now, by the way, lo and behold, there is a sitcom in production about Deion Sanders.
Lamont, you big dummy.
Yes. But, you know, he's got his family all around him there. And he's laid out this sitcom thing. He's like, you know, Shador comes in here and takes a shower, leaves his clothes. My clothes get laundered with his. I come back, his underwear's in my drawer.
Oh, boy.
He said Shiloh sneaks in here and takes a dump. His mom is in the next. He did. His mom's next door watching soap operas in his office. You know, I mean, it's just like you can see the sitcom coming to fruition here. Anyway, long story short, agree, disagree. Deion is the sportsman of the year, and he's created a hell of an impression in a lot of ways. Now, the football, he's got to fix.
Yeah. I think this would have been received differently, right? If instead of 4-8, they were 8-4, right? But I think people
even 6-6.
Yeah, I think
Stanford game broke them.
I think people should probably look past that, right? As Pat was saying, I mean, this is a kind of award or whatever you want, a recognition for kind of the off the field disruptor type mentality, not wins and losses. But I don't envy Pat's inbox.
Yeah, well, people have strong feelings about it, obviously.
Yes. One way or the other, right? It's like Deion, we discussed it on the pod often. He is maybe the most divisive kind of figure in college athletics.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Without question.
And there's been a rash of it, and I thought we were on a verge, and we kind of have it. He had, I think, two guys have hit the portal.
Yeah.
On him. And one, Caleb Faria, whose dad was a player there and played in the NFL. Yep. I don't think he had much of a season. Like, I think he only had barely played. And three kids decommitted, but two of them were juniors. There was this perception all of a sudden, like, and everyone jumped on it because they want Deion's it's classic America, right? We build them up, then we tear them down.
Yeah.
It's all falling apart. I don't know about that. The transfer outs are not bad. Everyone's losing guys. It's not like Shador transferred. He got four wins. He should have had five. We will see what happens with the portal coming in. He has a huge next 3 weeks. It probably will determine his future at Colorado, how invested he is in staying or not. His recruiting class only has 9 players. 3 of them are blue chip players. The other 6 are. I don't know whether you can build a program. So I thought he would have better high school recruiting. At least some of these, like, it's not top 10 guys. It's number 278, who's a linebacker from, you know, the area or something like that. You've got to build alignment and stuff like that. But we are going to see. He's got a huge few weeks. My concern with him is his recruiting. It's very unorthodox. He's always done things unorthodox, but like he does not go out and recruit. Part of that, I think, is his health. Part of it is he wants people to come visit him. But I don't know if you can make that work.
What did you say? Jackson said he never did an in-home visit, I don't think.
Yeah, he doesn't go to their homes. And maybe you could do that at Jackson State, but like at the end of the day, like I say this, like he, so the number one recruit in the class of 2025 is Bryce Underwood from Belleville, Michigan. And he's a quarterback, and Dion called this year, and Bryce and his dad went out there, and it's exciting, but it's LSU, it's Alabama, it's Michigan, and it's Colorado. And he's going to decide in January. It won't help next year, but this is the number one player, right? It's number one. Nick Saban's going to go to his house. Jim Harbaugh's going to go to his house. And Brian Kelly's going to go to his house. They'll probably go multiple times. They've probably been at games. Can you win those recruiting battles that he can get you involved in if you don't get out in the road? I don't know. Saying Dion can't do something, I'm not sure. Maybe this just works with the portal. He can get these guys. We're going to find out. The declarations of which we're guilty. We certainly had a lot of fun that Dion was the greatest thing ever. We're premature. The declarations this last week that the program is dead, premature. I don't know if you can do it this way, but if anyone can do it, I would love to have seen him at least be like, look, I'll go fly and go and visit the number one recruit in the country. Maybe he still will. I don't know.
Be better. No, I mean,
some of it, you got to be the football coach.
Competitors are doing that. Yeah. Sometimes you've got to.
Right. You can't be like, I'm Dion. Well, that's Nick Saban, man.
Right.
You know, I guess Nick Saban.
They both got Aflac commercials.
Yeah. They're
right?
Both in the Aflac commercial. So we'll see. Going to be very. All right. Quickly on this portal. Quarterbacks galore. The portal doesn't even open until Monday. Again, here's why I think no one cares about the scandals. Yeah. Like, Riley Leonard declared he was going to the portal, and everyone had him to Notre Dame for like $2.5 million like an hour later or something. I don't know we don't know the details of the deal, but
yeah.
However
that
much
was
money.
Literally just like everybody knew like Notre Dame and just waiting for him to put the name in so they could say it out loud. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Notre Dame, he's going to Notre Dame.
Go Notre Dame, right? So it's like, this is how the business works. Marcus Freeman said earlier this week, like, you can't wait, and you can't. You got to have it scouted. You got to work these guys early. Yeah. Riley Leonard, maybe to Notre Dame, would be huge. Really good football player. Better than Sam Hartman. Not as handsome, but handsome enough. Handsome enough, I think.
I'm not sure he's better than Sam Hartman.
We'll see. Maybe he is, maybe he isn't. The NFL guys like Riley Leonard, man.
They do.
We'll
see.
Will Rogers from Mississippi State. Will Howard from Kansas State. Grayson Ipistheel McCall. Coastal Carolina, he's on the Tyler Van Dyke's leaving Miami. Max Johnson from LSU and then A&M. Where did he go?
Committed to North Carolina.
North Carolina's already in.
Mm-hmm.
Tyler Shaw of Texas Tech. There's going to be more.
Yep.
I also think there's this bit where if you keep your coach, there's this idea of like, we're going to keep our coach, get another year. Like Blake Shapen from, it's Shapen, right? Or Shapen? Shapen.
Shapen.
Shapen from Baylor, portal. See, I'm not staying for this. KJ Jefferson could be leaving Arkansas to go to South Carolina. Again, there's another one that amazingly there was a switch in an hour. Possibly. We'll see. But this is wild. I'll give it the Wild West, but isn't the Wild West fun? Like, don't we love Westerns? I think fans are fired up for this.
Oh, they're very fired. I think fans
You can rebuild your team in a second.
Yeah. Now, this has become, I mean, it is, it's NFL free agency in terms of instant impact guys that you can go out and all of a sudden just get. The eternal struggle is that this is within the college concept and framework here. It's not the NFL yet. It's not NFL minor league yet. If we get there a little bit more with collective bargaining and employee-employer relationships and that sort of thing, okay, but there's still that connection to a campus and a university, that's where people are like, oh my God, really? Are we doing this? Now, again, I'm fine with player movement in terms of one-time free transfer and then grad transfers. That's fine. But I don't blame coaches for being ticked off about tampering. I don't know how you stop it, but I don't blame them for being mad about it.
Yeah, I don't think there's a way to stop it. And it's difficult to enforce too, right? Because you need... for lack of a better term, you need rats. You need people to turn people in. And guess what? school A is not going to turn in school B because they know that school B will then turn in school A because they all do it in some way. Some do it more than others, I'm sure, but they all do it to an extent. And I know I was hearing, and you know, look, there are active NCAA investigations into NIL right now. I mean, none of them have produced yet any penalties. And but there are a few of them where I think the NCAA does have documented proof of tampering through text and DMs and stuff like that. Again, I don't know what they're going to do about it, but that's kind of a rarity. You don't see that a lot. So LOL, right, Dan? Did you want to comment on that?
I would think of LOL. Good luck on those investigations. The coaches are all tampering with the other coaches on the coaching staffs to hire each other. Yep. They have actual contracts. Like, I get their frustration, but they do the same thing.
Yeah, that violates most, if not all, employment contracts, I believe.
I don't know. But, like, how do these guys just all of a sudden switch? You don't hear, like, the offensive coordinator is leaving to go to the other, be an offensive coordinator over there. Like, did they interview? What happened? Was the job posted?
And a lot of times the contracts call for one AD or whatever to call the other to alert them to get permission or whatever. Like, that happens. It does. But a lot of times it doesn't happen. Right. And they violate employment contracts.
Nobody's following any rules. They're just not following
the
rules.
The Wild West, Dan.
Yeah. Go with it. Again, John Wayne, man, let's go. Like, I don't get, like, all right. I understand if I was the coach, but it's like, okay, I'm Arkansas. I'm like, well, we're going to bring back Sam because he's a good man. And yeah, he's not doing it very good. We're going to hire this absolute ridiculous train wreck, Harley wreck, to be our offense coordinator. And KJ, you're just going to have to deal with it. KJ's like, I'm out of here. Well, good. Like, I only got 4 years. You guys are doing this for 40. And I don't know if KJ's leaving. He hasn't actually, maybe by now he has. I don't know. But like, I'd be like, I'm not doing that just because you guys don't have the buyout money or you don't want to, this is your butt, you're all friends. It's just, I don't know. I think, now their calendar's a mess. Like, imagine being the schools that are preparing for a championship this weekend and you're trying to navigate this portal.
Yeah, no, this is the worst.
They need to move the recruits to February. Get that out of the way. There's not much you can do because you got to get them enrolled by the second semester. There's problems you can't solve here. But this is...
again, that darned higher education component.
Stupid class. But whatever it is, maybe they should wait another week until after championship weekend. I don't know. But whatever you come up with, this is what's going on. But at the same time, you're not trapping people in bad situations. And like, if you're a I get it, you're a Duke fan. You're like, oh man, Riley Leonard. But like, that's a shaky situation now. Your coach just bailed. He got tampered with.
Right.
He got tampered with and he took more money. And so Riley Leonard says, well, I'm going to go get a better situation. And if you're a Notre Dame fan, that's in there going, well, we got CJ Carr. Maybe in a couple of years, we'll be good. It's like, boom, we could be good next year. Let's go.
Yeah. I wonder if the ACC is going to be tired of being Notre Dame's quarterback farm system. Sam Hartman last year, Riley Leonard.
It's not fair because, you know, Marcus Freeman, he's the glowing handsomeness. These QBs can't – he doesn't have to tamper. He's just a bee in the building. They just look over and go, ah, that's what I want to do. Anyway, transfer portal. I think fans are going to, like, go crazy on this the way it's like NBA free agency – baseball, right. Like trade, it's a trade deadline thing because this is better than recruiting because you know this guy's good. We've seen him,
right?
So I don't know. We will see.
The funny thing that, like you said, though, the supposed to be December 4th portal opens, and that, you know,
we're taping on the 30th of November. We already got guys.
We've got guys all over the place.
Yeah. Hence, Connor Stallions shows up in the back of a pizza review. And everyone laughs. All right, race for the case. I think we got through everything. Now, look, we have talked these games, everything about these games, the last two episodes. So please go back and listen like our man Culpepper 19.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to hear. We didn't just ignore the football part. Yeah. It's obviously going to be big. Actually, there's one quick topic I want to get to. Herb Street said it. I think I saw Joel Klatt say it. A lot of voices say it. It's supposed to be the top four teams. The four best teams are what the committee is supposed to put into the playoff. Okay? Over the last 9 years, we have not seen that be the case. They have not chosen the best four teams. And this all centers around whether Florida State, if they get the 13-0, deserves in, or it's just a downer of this great year we have. There were certainly four teams that are potentially capable of winning this national championship, and we don't want to see one that no one thinks can. So there's a lot of backlash to Florida State. I'm not arguing what they should do, but what are your thoughts on this? That, yes, should it be the four best, or is the committee, by ignoring that through the years and going basically with resume, doing it right? What do you think, Pat?
I remember standing there in the, lobby of a opulent hotel in Los Angeles hearing Mike Slive say four best teams when this was announced. And that was supposed to be the charge. As you laid out, it has not always followed through that way. I think we'd all like to see the four best teams, but, I also like to see teams rewarded for excellent regular seasons, for scheduling well, for challenging themselves, and performing. And if you say, clearly, Michigan's a better team than TCU, right? If they'd have come down to one's in and one's out, everybody would, Michigan's better than TCU. Well, what happened on the field?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
TCU beat them. So you get into some of these, well, we know this team's better than that team because we just know. Mm-hmm. Is that what we're basically boiling this down to? So I think you have to reward resume. Now, the Florida State thing really is tricky. It really is, because they are probably going to put a diminished product out there. But, man, If they beat Louisville and they're 13-0 and they took on LSU and they won that game and they went into Death Valley and they beat Clemson, it's tough to leave them out. At the same time, if it comes down to leaving out an SEC champion with one loss and letting Florida State in, that's a tough one to swallow. So I don't know. I mean, I could see all sides of it, but I lean more toward reward the teams that put together the resume to get there.
Yeah. I feel the same way. The games in the field have got to matter. They just do. I think it was last year. I remember Nick Saban was on that group media campaign about how Alabama would be, they were left out.
Oh, Vegas.
The five seed. How exciting Vegas odds and the point spread on Alabama's games against, other teams ranked above Alabama. What are we doing? Like we I get it from his vantage point. He's fighting for his team, but I could get on the soapbox as I have before about this selection process and how absurd it is and subjective and the analytics. And, I just wish somehow college football would come around to more of an automatic bid, more automatic bids. And we're getting there, right? Getting closer to that, where they remove the decisions from a committee and actually do it on the field. So we're getting closer to that. But I just think it's all absurd. And you've got to, the number one thing has got to be what happened on the field. Now, I do understand arguments from some about scheduling, right? And that's what makes college football so difficult to parse through these teams and differentiate these teams, because everybody, unlike the NFL, right? Everybody doesn't have a consistent and even type schedule. They schedule at will, basically. And so a good example would be Michigan this year, right? Who canceled a game, who was supposed to play UCLA. I think cancel that game. And then you have Alabama. They played Texas. And so I get that part. I do. And I hope going forward in an expanded playoff, those teams, we'll see more of those, like Alabama-Texas games or those type of games. We'll see more of that, because you can probably drop a game, if not two, and maybe even in some cases three, because you could always come back in your conference championship game and get an automatic bid. So you could drop those games. So going forward, hopefully we'll see more of those games. I just really want us to move away from counting on a group of mostly athletic administrators, you know, God bless them, because they have an unenviable job. And I think all of us in the media would virtually do the same in a lot of ways. I think it's a kind of a thankless position to be in, to have to choose four teams out of all these schools that play such different schedules. So hopefully an expanded playoff will put it into some of this.
I think it you're not going to have an undefeated team left out from a Power Five. And that's
no.
Imagine if we had the old BCS right now. Oh, no. My God.
Well, Liberty will be left out. Nope, they're unbeaten.
Liberty will be left
They'll
out.
Be left out. But yeah. They didn't play a Power Five team. I mean,
yeah. The old BCS would have been, oh my God, right now. People are like, bring back the old BCS.
This,
like, dude,
this year would have been a complete nightmare.
Yeah. Oh,
I wish Death to the BCS came out with this scenario. Yeah. We would have sold so many books. I wouldn't have had to do this podcast.
It'd have been Michigan and Georgia if they win on Saturday. Right. It'd been Michigan and Georgia, right? And you'd have an undefeated Florida State and a potentially undefeated, very good in, like, talk about good resumes. Washington's resume is right up there with everybody else's.
Yeah, no, it'd be chaos. The one thing I'll say about Florida State, I totally get it. I don't want to see Florida State in the playoff. I really don't, just because I think the other teams are better. But I'm not saying they shouldn't be in the playoff. I'm with you on the resume. The one thing I'll say is, like, I think in 2014, Ohio State was better in the playoff because JT Barrett got hurt. I think there's a theory that they're better without JT Barrett because Urban Meyer rode Ezekiel Elliott in the playoffs.
Yeah.
He said, well, I have Cardale Jones. He's not as good as JT Barrett. So the offense got simplified. Ezekiel Elliott was the best player on that football team. He's one of the best running backs. I mean, really of all time, you know, right. He rushed for 468 yards and six touchdowns in the playoffs. They just rode him. And if they had JT Barrett, is the offense more diverse and doesn't succeed against Alabama, or does it work because ain't nobody tackling Ezekiel Elliott when he's 21 years old? Not in the NFL, not in college. So sometimes an injury can change the way you do things. So that's the one thing you go with Florida State. They can't be better. I agree, they can't, but maybe Mike Norvell figures it out and the team plays well enough to win by changing what they're trying to do. So that's out there. All right.
I hate to bog down the pod more because we're running late.
Actually, if you're listening now, you're in the 9,000.
Yeah, you're into it now. But yeah, that's right.
Culpepper 19 is still with us.
Isn't that, we talked about it just kind of speaks to the, this kind of speaks to the conference championship game story. But isn't there a way we can figure out a college football playoff with all or the majority automatic bids? Aren't we smart enough to maybe take
the schedule's two? I think you always need
but you could do it by conference, like conference finish. You know, in the Power Four, the top two finishers of each of the Power Four get automatic bids into the playoff. The top champion of Group of Five, like it is now in the expanded, get an automatic bid.
But it's a lot harder.
And then maybe have like three at large.
You know,
like
there's gonna be 12 and the SEC.
Well, you throw in three to four at large is for those remaining other teams.
But then you have a committee. Then you have a committee.
Well, you got to have a committee to seed. You're gonna have to. Yeah, you got to have a committee.
We have 133 teams, and Delaware's coming. We got. I mean, it's 130 plus teams.
133 and going up.
And going up, playing for one. I mean, the whole thing is completely bat, you know, crazy. That's the beauty
of it.
That's
great, though. That's why. Yeah, you're right. That's why.
So
it's great.
I don't. You play crazy schedules. You got to have at some point. You have to have a human element to sort through the unmitigated disaster. This is not the NFL where you have 32 teams and 14 of them make the playoffs. It's 14, seven on each one. Yeah. Seven.
Are they up to 16 now? They might be.
I think they're at 7 each.
Okay. All right. four.
Right. Yeah. One gets a bye. Yeah.
And then the other six.
And then you go, well, because it is strength of schedule. But you look at that stuff on like Sunday night, they'll be like in the hunt. You're like 4-6 Saints. You're like, God, we got beat by 50 points today. Like,
how about three automatic bids for the Big Ten each for the Big Ten and SEC, and then two for the Big 12 and ACC. Mm-hmm. That gets you at 10. And then you get a 16-team playoff with six more spots, the best group of five, maybe five at large. I don't know.
Listen. You know what we're doing right now? We're just inviting emails from people. Here's my playoff.
I know. I've gotten plenty of those.
I prefer knowing there's some guys wearing Kevlar while eating cream corn down in the Grand Hyatt in Grapevine, Texas right now going,
looking at a game control and point spreads and all the other bull.
I mean, the other night when they're like, why is Texas ranked two spots below Oregon when Texas has a better win, more top 25 victories, and 40 spots higher on your strength of schedule. And Boo Corgan's like, Bo Nix has completed 78% of his passes.
Talk about an awful, thankless, like no win position there. Yeah. Like no win at all.
No, I get it. He's just like, basically we like him. That's it. Like there was nothing else, but I'm like,
he's cool.
Completion percentage is now a thing.
Right.
Oh,
here's some stats. Reel off the stats. For the sound
okay. He's completed 78% of his passes. Like that wasn't the question. Oh, anyway. All right, now let's get to the real excitement in college football, the final race for the case. Sean Anderson in the lead, 46-32. Everyone has three ties. Ross, 43-35. Myself, 43-35. Pat, 38-40. Respectable. Respectable.
I'm getting back.
So Dan and I are three games back. Boy, we gotta do some damage this weekend, don't we?
Yep. And as per tradition, the leader has to pick first.
Yeah. Right.
So we can fade them. We can. I mean, we gotta make a move. We gotta make some moves here. Okay. 2-minute drill for Ross and I. Pat, you are mathematically eliminated.
Thank you.
But you can get to 500, and I think that's a moral victory for you. It's bowl eligible.
That's all I'm shooting for.
Get bowl eligible. You can get a Pop-Tart. Race for the Pop-Tart. So, Sean, be ready and get ready for the knives. Ross and I are coming at you like a San Quentin prison yard riot.
I had a season-long like lead, it felt like. When did Sean overtake me, damn it?
You went probably when you started picking bad. All right, number 5, Oregon versus number 3, Washington. Pac-12 championship game, the last Pac-12 game. Friday night, 8 p.m. on ABC in Vegas. Oregon giving 9.5. What you got, Sean?
You know, this is a real interesting tradition that I'm glad we're starting in 2023.
Not starting, it's always
No. This is nice and fun.
That's how I remember it.
But I'm sure, I'll go with Washington.
We should ask Culpepper 19 what happened on the show.
He'll track it. He'll know. I'll go with the Huskies. They have made it this far. They have beaten a lot of odds in a lot of very tough games. So going up against their rival, I'll go with the Huskies. 9.5 is a lot of points.
Pat?
I'm with you. Too many points. This is two really good teams. I think Oregon has become the better team, but I know this. Nobody's killed Washington yet, so they ain't going to go down easy. It's going to be an awesome game. I think both offenses, again, will have great nights. So I will take Oregon to win, but Washington will cover 9.5.
I'm doing some math here. How many games are we picking this weekend?
Well, we're picking 5, and then we'll have a lock, but I don't know how we can duplicate the locks,
six total games. Okay, all right,
same as every week.
All right, I want to go against Sean, but I can't. It's too many points. 9.5. I think Washington at very worst, even if they're behind like 15, 17 points, they have an offense that I think can get you a backdoor cover. So I got to go with the Huskies as well.
I love this game. I love the Huskies, but I'll take a lone duck. Are you kidding me? I'm trying to win this thing. Sweet free case of Busch Light. Are you kidding me? Might get a collective. Might get if the Ducks pull it, whoever pulls this off, I'll get their collective beer. Maybe. I don't know. Maybe. Oregon's collective beer is probably very like hoppy. It's like artisanal. Yeah, I don't, maybe not.
It's that you mean it's actually good and has
Yeah, yes, yes, mm-hmm. has actual taste.
Yes.
But anyway, I'll go lone duck on this. Bo Nix has completed 78% of his passes. Don't you guys know anything? Listen to Boo. 18, Oklahoma State versus number 7, Texas. High noon. Big Plains showdown. Big 12. Last game of the current Big 12. ABC, AT&T Stadium in Arlington. Texas is giving 15.5. No faith in Vegas on the Stillwater mullet. Sean, first pick.
I loathe this game. I loathe the spread. 15.5 in a conference championship game is diabolical, especially when Mike Gundy's in play. But I believe that Texas knows that they're on the bubble, so they need to win with some style. I'll take the Longhorns to cover 15.5, and I'm not thrilled about it.
Sean shaky? Is he getting shaky under the pressure here?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. This
I don't
is
know.
One
maybe.
I had already planned to go against him here. Give me Oklahoma State in the mullet.
Man, it is tough. I agree with Sean's. I agree with everything he said about this. You don't Gundy in an underdog situation, warlock tendencies there, but I do think Texas is pedal to the metal, and they are going for the big number, and they're going to try to win as big as they can. So Texas wins and covers.
Can you define warlock tendencies?
Yeah, what is that? Let's see.
He just pulls out stuff as an underdog, man.
Yeah, I know. It made sense. Incredible. Incredible phrase.
Have you seen the picture they had with when he won Big 12 Coach of the Year over Steve Sarkisian? Which coach is staying in the league and which one is leaving?
Yeah, that was interesting.
But anyway, the picture with like the full gray beard and the jet black hair. That's some warlock.
You don't care. Mullet don't care. No. So I can get lone. What? No, wait. Who took Oklahoma State? Anybody?
Yeah, Ross did.
Yeah, I got to take him too. I think Texas is going to try to run it up, though. I agree. Quinn Ewers is going to be throwing a Hail Mary up 20. I gotta try to win this. Pokes. I'll take the Pokes. 15.5. Let's go. Let's go, Gundy. Number 1, Georgia. Number 8, Alabama. 4 p.m. CBS. Last CBS, SEC on CBS game. Mercedes-Benz Stadium. Downtown Atlanta. Dogs given 5.5.
Too much talent. Georgia has too much talent, and Alabama got away with one. The Iron Bowl magic is just specifically that. Alabama is not a better team than Georgia. Georgia clears the 5.5, I think, with relative ease.
I think Georgia clears the 5.5. I don't think it'll be with relative ease. This I think I might have mentioned before, sets up so exactly the way it did in 2021. Where Alabama staggers in after barely beating a bad Auburn team, and everybody thinks they're going to get steamrolled, and then Bryce Young just went supernova. I don't think Jalen Milroe is as good as Bryce Young, but he can make plays. I think he makes enough to keep it close, but I will take Georgia by a touchdown, win, and cover by a little.
If I don't go against Sean here, I'm going to have to go against him in 2 of the next 3. But I feel the same way as him in Pat. I know there's the master Alabama, Nick Saban. I think there's some absurd stats that Peter Burns from SEC Network tweeted out about Nick Saban in SEC championship games and in the Mercedes-Benz Dome. He's like 10-1 in championship games. He's like 7-0 in all other games or something in the stadium, or 6-1. I mean, it's absurd. But I just think this year Georgia's too good. And the Alabama team I watched against Auburn, I don't think beats them or covers. So, Georgia, it is.
Oh, I love you guys. I love you guys. Lone Tide? Are you kidding?
Lone Tide.
What is the number one rule of Race for the Case? Nick Saban is an underdog. Don't bet against him.
Yeah, I know.
I'll take it. I'm going to be tied for the lead by the end of this game. And Sean's going to be, Sean, what'd you have, 14 and a half drinks a couple weeks ago? You're going to be drinking them down. You're going to be gunning them down on Saturday night, nervous.
Can't wait. They'll be free. It'll be fun.
Number two, Michigan versus number 16, Iowa. 8 p.m., Indianapolis, Lucas Oil Stadium, game on Fox. Wolverines giving 21 and a half. I don't know if you saw the over on the point total earlier this week for Iowa in the first half is the most disrespectful line ever. Half a point.
Yes.
Half a point. Have you heard those like gambling ads? Like sign up for FanDuel. If you get, if LeBron James scores 1 point tonight, you win $200, right? Stuff like that. And you're like, oh, probably seems like LeBron's good for a point. That's this 1 point. That was the over under in the first half. Hawkeyes. Sean, who you got? Who you taking?
Iowa is an abject mess, and they are down their best player. I cannot overstate how much I think Michigan is going to win this game by 22 points or more. And that it's also based off of Penn State beating them 33-0. If Iowa could have held Penn State to less, okay, maybe we'll have a conversation. But they are not a serious team. Michigan is it somewhat serious, so I will go with the Wolverines to cover.
The over under on the game is 35 and a half, by the way. So Vegas, and the spread is 22. Think about that. Think about that. Or 20, 21 and a half. So Vegas thinks it's going to be like 25 to 10.
No, they don't.
I'm going to go
less than that.
Yeah, less like, than. Wait. Oh, yeah, my math is all wrong. Yeah, 28. Yeah,
like 30 to 5 or something.
Yeah.
Like 29 to 6.
I didn't. They never said that math would be included in the pod.
Okay.
So I'm gonna go against Sean here. I'm gonna take the Hawkeyes to cover for some reason. Give me the Ferences, the Ferentz crew, right? Coaching maybe for the last time together.
You can come up with a scenario in which Iowa covers. That scenario involves Michigan having a wild hangover. It involves injuries having depleted the Wolverines. And it would have to involve turnovers and kick returns. None of those things are going to happen. All right. Michigan, the last 2 years, should have had a hangover and then went in and thumped whoever they played in the Big Ten championship. And Iowa is worse than both of those teams, one of which was Iowa 2 years earlier. Iowa will not score. Iowa will not cross midfield. Michigan will win and cover this easily.
I'm worried about the gang up. I'm worried about the 13 coach conference call. Will Tony Petitti make a ruling if all of a sudden someone named like Harvin Marison shows up on the roster of Iowa?
They wouldn't know how to get Harvin Marison the ball. Doesn't matter.
Hell out there.
You think Brian Ferentz can come up with a play for Harvin Marison? No. No, he cannot.
Mew Aller is throwing the ball to Harvin Marison. Like, wait a minute. What is that? How much will the Big Ten try to beat Michigan? It's all hands on deck, baby. This is what Michigan's going to cover this game. This is why I say Blake Corum probably won't play that much to get in the lead. Then, like, Donovan Edwards is dying for touchdowns, you know?
Yeah.
They got too much. Forget it. I'll take Michigan.
Ooh, lone Hawkeye.
Hawkeye. Have fun. Have fun with that one. I expect a text at 8:15 going, what the hell was I thinking? Yeah. Number 14, Louisville. At number 4, Florida State. Seminoles given 2.5, 8 p.m. Saturday night in Charlotte, Bank of America Stadium. Sean?
I've used a little... I think I've exceeded my amount of logic that I can use in my picks on the first four, so let's root for the chaos here. Florida State to cover. I think that they're going to give the committee too tough of a decision, so let's go with the Seminoles. Just get the party started, get next week going, Florida State.
Can I just say that Dan has almost employed the Dabo Sweeney usage of Sean's name here when it's a Tyler
Sean from Spartanburg.
Sean.
Look at work for Dabo and lost
Sean
since.
From Arlington.
Sean. Anyhow, now Louisville will take the committee off the hook. This is you want to talk about warlock tendencies. Brohm has them in an underdog situation. Florida State by hook and crook, got by Florida, but not with much offense at all. Louisville's defense has fallen apart to a degree, but it doesn't matter. They still have playmakers on offense. They're going to score enough. They're going to win. Florida State's going to be out of the playoff. The committee's going to send a fruit basket to Brohm afterwards for taking them off the hook.
Same. Yeah, give me the Cardinals to cover it. I just don't think Florida State, as Boo Corrigan said, is the same team as they were before the quarterback injury. And they look like it, you know, against Florida. And so playing a better, much better Louisville team than the Gators. And I think that the Noles go down.
I'm going to take the smart play here is Louisville. I'm going to take Florida State.
You're going to go against the smart play?
Yeah,
I guess so. That's pretty much how I live my life, and look where it's got me.
Yeah. You remember, you got to have the three different picks to Sean.
I've got them.
Oh, you got them already? No.
I feel like I'm going to regret this one. I'm taking Florida State. I think I just want the chaos more than the case of beer.
Man, let's face it. You're going to have a case of beer whether we pay for it or you pay.
Yeah, beer is so $17.99 for a 30 rack. I mean, like, what am I getting out of this? I think last year I made you guys donate to Jackson State's Smith Foundation.
You did.
Yeah, yeah. Like, because what are you getting off easy? Pats is like $45 and it's impossible to buy. Anyway, I'm taking the Seminoles. Too much pride. I don't like this Louisville team at all. But whatever. We'll find out. All right. There's two games to pick for the final. You either pick.
Well, there's five other games.
Oh, there's five. I'm sorry. Yeah. No, I'm sorry. My bad.
Yeah, I was about to say.
I was looking at the ranked ones. I was like, what is that? Okay, five games. Can we duplicate or do we have to, like, take what's left?
Can we duplicate if we pick the opposite team, maybe, in a lock?
Let's make that the rule. Sean,
that's a good rule.
Should we make Sean go last so he has the least advantage? No, let him pick. Go ahead, Sean. Good, Sean.
Making up rules on the fly here.
I don't. It's a very important race here. Race.
Yeah, exactly.
Just like the
Ross,
committee.
Thank you. Next, now we're just picking where the selection goes, wherever.
Bowman, Patch, and Boo Corrigan. See what he has to say about
this. Now there's a new tradition starting up.
Yeah. Go ahead, Sean.
My lock of the week will center around a team that saved my sanity and facial hair, the Toledo Rockets. I like them. It is a good team. Miami crawled back in their first matchup this year. I don't see it happening again. Toledo giving 7.5 on Saturday at noon. I like everything about this Rockets team. I will take them to cover that 7.5.
That's the best pick right there.
Excellent pick. Damn. Should have made him go last.
Conference USA Championship game Friday night, New Mexico State at Liberty. Liberty's undefeated but has not played a Power 5 team. It has one of probably the weakest schedules in the country. They are an 11.5 point favorite. Jerry Keel and the Aggies, give me those guys to go into Liberty and not just cover, but I think they may win the game. There's my lock.
Wow. You know, they played earlier this year. This is their second meeting.
Yep. 16-point win, I think, for Liberty earlier. Yeah. But boy, you go New Mexico State has played awfully well.
Yeah, they're on a
All right, I'm going Sun Belt, which once again was the Fun Belt, had another very good year in that league. But App State is only in because James Madison can't be there. And Troy, wow. John Summerall is undefeated after September in two seasons there. He started like 1-2 each of the 2 years, and then they don't lose again. And they're not going to lose this one. The number is 6.5. I'll take Troy to cover the 6.5. And John Summerall, somebody should have hired him last year. We'll see if somebody hires him this year. But if not, my golly, in 2024, somebody sure needs to.
So I'm not going to pick this game, but we don't want to leave one game that we just didn't discuss. Interestingly, Boise State is a 2.5-point favorite at UNLV this weekend, Saturday at 3. Kind of fascinating there. Boise State fired its coach in the middle. UNLV fell to San Jose State in their finale, but have had an incredible season under Barry Odom. They're a one-win team. I would probably take Boise in this, but I'm not going to pick that game. It's a confusing one to me, that line, but very interesting Mountain West game that, you know, will be going on. That's on Fox at 3. Again, like these secondary games, the group of five teams, these are fun games. It's going to be fun. But I am going to take Tulane hosting SMU. They're given 3.5. Not too big of a spread. I like everything about Willie Fritz's program. I particularly like Michael Pratt. And I think that the Green Wave riding a really good home crowd and a lot of excitement. Hopefully they pack that place down there. They got a great little stadium, Yulman Stadium. And New Orleans goes out. And I think the Green Wave win it for the second time in a row and beat SMU outright and cover the 3.5 points. Is it 3.5 or 2.5? 3.5, right? Yeah, 3.5.
3.5.
I wish it was 2.5. And take this. So that is my pick. That's the one that's going to win it. I feel pretty confident. I'll be bathing in beer. Lots of beer coming. Anyway, that is our show. Last race for the case. Although we'll pick the bowl games, of course. And thank you for going through this whole thing. We're increasing your minutes. You're going to be Culpepper 19 next year. A lot happening.
Culpepper 19 is going for 10,000 minutes next year.
We will be back unless we need an emergency pod. Maybe chaos breaks out over this weekend. I'm not sure exactly what our, nothing else. We'll be back after the playoff field is set on Sunday. So it'll be kind of Sunday evening. But keep an eye on your feeds or our social media accounts. If there is an emergency pod or something crazy, which is certainly possible between now and noon on Sunday. Appreciate everyone listening. We will talk to you later.